Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed. And this morning in the studio, we have got Dr. Emma Carroll, who is a research fellow in the School of Biological Sciences in the Faculty of Science at the University of Auckland. Morena, how are you, Emma?
Kia ora. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming in this morning. We're talking about conservation and some research that you've been involved in that looks at cultural behaviours of animals or something in this realm. I'm quite interested to start with that particular idea and how it can kind of feed into conservation. What is the kind of cultural behaviours of animals as a thing to study, I guess?
Right. So I guess the first thing to understand is that animals like us, they learn socially.
Okay, right, yep.
So they'll look at what other animals are doing, or they'll look at what animals have produced. So, for example, New Caledonian crows will produce tools that are kind of stepped that they use to kind of fish out insects from.
Wow, that's amazing.
And other crows can just look at those tools and go, I see what you've done there. And they can also create tools from, you know, the products of others.
Okay, yeah. So this kind of like idea that there's a, like a society kind of going on, for want of a less personified term, perhaps.
Yeah.
Reflecting on the way that they interact with each other.
Yeah, so social learning is actually quite widespread in the animal kingdom, you know, insects, mammals, birds, fish. But then it's the building block for animal culture. So culture is broadly defined as behaviours that are shared within a group of animals.
Okay.
That is socially learned. So some animals may have social learning but not culture.
Oh, okay, right, I see. So you could make maybe, for example, a tool, but you don't have like these spread behaviours across your whole kind of species group.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
And so how does this research into, I guess, like social behaviours and then animal cultures, how does that feed back into conservation? And particularly, what kind of conservation are you looking at in your research?
So this paper is quite a group effort from lots of people from around the world who have been studying this for a few, you know, some of us have been studying it for decades.
Yep.
And what we've been asking ourselves and kind of put forward in this paper is, well, what happens if you assume that everybody in a group behaves the same way? What are you missing? And so when we thought about it, we thought about three different main aspects of conservation that could benefit from a better understanding of social learning and animal culture. And so the first one is, well, what are the groups that we need to conserve? So I'm a genetics population geneticist by training. I look at the distribution of genes and alleles and use that to understand how connected different groups of animals are. But if we assume that, you know, groups of animals that are genetically the same behave the same, we may miss out on important things that we need to look at when conserving them and trying to ensure that these populations persist into the future.
So what would be an example of that? Like, what would be something that you might miss if you were giving it that kind of broad stroke?
So, for example, many animals will learn where and what to feed on from their parents or from other members of their group. For example, meerkats will actually teach their offspring how to hunt or and predate on dangerous prey like scorpions. So they'll actually like disable the scorpions and teach them slowly how to hunt them.
Okay, cool.
And I work on whales, right whales, for example, and these animals have migratory culture, so they learn where to go from their mum in their first year of life, and they go to these feeding grounds offshore, and they'll come back to their favourite wintering ground. And so what this means is, you know, one breeding group of animals may have several different areas where they go to eat.
Wow.
And so you, or they may, whales is one example, but you may have animals that, you know, they may be in the same area, but they may specialise.
Yeah.
And so they have different food resources. And if you're not aware of that and you don't conserve all those different types of food resources, you aren't fully protecting or providing enough, you know, habitat for that population.
Wow, that's so interesting. And so how do you use, I guess, this knowledge of animal cultures to help with that particular part of conservation then? Where does the application sort of come about?
So the idea is, if you can figure out or characterise how many different foraging traditions or, you know, foraging strategies are within a population, and you can start to identify multiple areas which need to be conserved, or at least one of the suggestions we've got is just to start thinking about this. Mm. So is there social learning in the group of animals you study? Does that social learning interface with foraging and feeding behaviours?
Right.
And just starting to get people thinking about this, you know. Some people do it already, but a lot of people, this paper is a prompt to try and get people to start looking at the data they may already have, mm-hmm. and go, well, if we think about this from an animal cultural social learning lens, can we learn more about the species we're studying that might help them persist in the future?
So what are your, I guess, like ultimate hopes for this research that you're doing? You said you hope it acts as a prompt. Who do you hope uses this as a prompt?
Well, we're hoping that people who are active in conservation research and people who make policy will take it on board.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had some success already. We've been working with the United Nations Environmental Programme. They have a treaty called the Convention on Migratory Species. And so a lot of countries work together to conserve habitat and resources for species that migrate across borders.
Wow, okay.
And so there's already recognised, for example, sperm whales in the tropical Pacific. Different groups of sperm whales have different dialects.
Wow, that's amazing.
And they use the resources in the ocean different. So they're being recognised as different management units.
Okay.
So it's about identifying which groups need to be conserved if they have slightly different or if they have different resource needs, basically.
It sounds so interesting. I honestly could talk about this for hours with you, Emma. Thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about it this morning. Have a lovely rest of your Tuesday morning.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university. All right.